Well, I had actually planned on cheating last week. In fact, I told Carol I'm going to cheat so much that I'm just going to go through the bulletin and take magic that whiteout and just put in the next date. I was going to cheat completely. I wasn't even going to, you know, I'd already practiced this sermon for 2 weeks already. It would have, might have been good. But we're not going to preach that one. It dawned on me that we're headed into Lent. Mostly because I had to preach on Wednesday at the Lenten luncheon. And I enjoyed it. I really did. It was kind of a rough start. Didn't have no piano player, so we had to do it a cappella. We had a piano player. Somebody out of the crowd says, "Yeah, I can play." But the piano went south. Every time we turned it on, it sounded like this one. Burr! Couldn't play that thing. So we ended up. And then by the time we got that all done, I had to say what I had to say. And, you know, when you're starting out about 10 to 12 minutes behind and you only got a 20-minute window to start with, you know, it makes you nervous. And so I was a bit nervous, but I said what I wanted to say, and I was surprised that when I got all done, one of the pastors in town, he says, "I wish you would have had a whole hour." Because he enjoyed it that much. So the Lord always works through those things. I think he actually worked through there a lot more than I had even anticipated, because I feel like once in a while when I just say what I got to say and not put all the fluff and stuff in there, you come out the other side understanding more of what we might want to say. So this morning, we're going to start in with this idea of Lent. And we're going to start in with this idea of maybe giving something up for Lent. And I want you to know that in my understanding, that giving something up for Lent and fasting are two totally different things. Not that you can't fast for Lent. Don't get me wrong. And I would suggest everybody does. I did realize that in the early church, they fasted twice a week. I believe it was on like Wednesday and Friday, because the Jews were doing it on Tuesday and Thursday. Separation there, you know. And so we're going to talk not about giving something up, because we can give up anything we want for Lent. We could give up chocolate. We could give up our cell phones one day a week. That didn't work out well in the front row. We could give up TV for a week. That's not going to go over well either. You see what I'm saying? We can give up a lot of things for Lent that would actually do us some good. Because it is not what we give up, it's the practice and obedience to God that really makes a difference. And that's where we come to fasting. Because I believe as a church that's wanting to grow, a church that's wanting to reach out for people outside of these walls, it's going to take fasting. It's going to take our willingness to sacrifice ourselves to hear God. Because I think as we fast, we can fast for a lot of reasons, okay? I mean, if we stop and think about it, and I've been doing a lot of reading since about the 1st of December on fasting. And I've been kind of working on this thing, and in the process, I figured out that there's health benefits to it too. It helps all kinds of things in your body. There was a reason God asked us to do these things. It wasn't just because He didn't like us and thought we ought to leave the sweets alone or whatever. It was to help make sure that our bodies maintain themselves. Can't do that if it's overloaded all the time. And as Americans, there's epidemics out there. We'll take type 2 diabetes, which I have. It's caused from flat eating too much and too sweet. We can cause our own problems. And so there's a medical benefit, and you can fast for a medical benefit, but just to fast doesn't help you. We have to fast and realize that we are fasting this day for God, and then make sure that God knows that's what our heart's intent really is. I can fast a lot of days in a row. But if I don't make it intentional to God what I'm doing this for, it doesn't help my spiritual well-being. It doesn't help me with God. But if we stop and we fast even one meal a week and use that time for prayer or Bible reading, something to change our spirit, great things will happen. And I know this because the Bible tells us that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And I like how they finished the verse. It's in Matthew 4:2. And in the end of the verse it says, and he was hungry. Of course he was. After 40 days I would be too. I fasted for like 3 days at a time. I was hungry at the end. And if we stop and think about Moses on Mount Sinai, he went up for 40 days, got his tablets, came down, found out that they had made a golden calf, broke his tablets, and then had to go back up and do another 40 days. Fasting has always been part of God's plan. Fasting is a part of our Christian heritage. Luke 4:1-2 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, again, he was hungry. See, God has never asked us to do any more than we can do. He never asks us to do any more than He would do. But what He asks us to do is be obedient to what He gives us to do. Even if you're only going to fast one meal a day once a week, if that's what He asks of you, that's your obedience to Him. And I'm going to preface this with the idea that, again, that we have to make sure that this is for God and for our spiritual well-being. Because we can do it for a lot of other reasons. We can do it to make ourselves look good in front of others. Isaiah 58:6 says, Is not this the kind of fast I have chosen, to loosen the chains of injustice, to untie the cord of yoke, to set the oppressed free, and break every yoke? If we want change, real change in our lives, it's going to take more than Sunday morning. It's going to take more than just a few hours a month in our Bible. It's going to take more than a prayer on the way to church that we don't get a flat. I have to admit that I wasn't fasting as often as I should the last couple of years. I'll tell you that right up front. And it shows. I can stop and look back and tell you that it makes a difference. And the big difference is right here in my heart. In the joy I have when I get up in front of you people is so much greater. When I know I'm right with God. When I know that I'm doing those things that I'm supposed to do. When I miss Friday with the guys, because we fast on Fridays, we didn't realize it was a good Christian thing to do, but we do it anyway. We knew fasting was a good idea, we just didn't know that Wednesday and Fridays was the good Christian thing to do. But since we started doing that, my heart is lighter. My burden is lighter. And I haven't changed a whole lot more than just that. I haven't actually prayed anymore, except for that I do pray another hour a week. I don't read my Bible anymore. But understanding that I'm doing something because of God's obedience changes my heart, changes my well-being. But you know, there are problems with fasting. One of them is, why doesn't it work? You know, we can do it that way too. We can fast and it not work. In Matthew 9:14 and 15, it says, then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So Jesus says we ought to. And he kind of helps us with the understanding that there is reasons why we don't fast. There's reasons why when we come together as a community that we don't fast. We fellowship. We have carry-in dinners or potlucks, however you want to say that. And we shouldn't come to one of those and fast. Because who are we helping? Those that are eating and realizing that you're not eating used to bother me a lot. We had a pastor in Lincoln, and it used to bother Carol and I tremendously that him and his wife would not eat with the church at a carry-in dinner. And it just seemed odd. It seemed like something that was not socially correct. You know what I'm saying? And they never did. They were there, what, 3 years? And I don't remember one time that they ate with the church. I watched him one time at a pancake breakfast get pancakes and leave. But they didn't eat with the church. So, when we're supposed to be fellowshipping, when we're supposed to be partying, when we're supposed to be loving on one another, that is a poor time to fast. Because the Bible tells us we're not supposed to allow everybody to know that, right? Our actual scripture for today comes from Matthew 6:16 through 18. And it says, "When you fast, do not look sober as the hypocrites do." Oh, I will give you a minute to get there. Matthew 6:16 through 18. "When you fast, do not look sober as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. If your intent is to make sure that other people realize that you're fasting, that's your reward. They realize it. That's it. That's all there is. There's no kudos in heaven for you. There's no big banner that's going to say you was a great Christian when you get there. Because them knowing that you're fasting was all you're going to get. Because it doesn't help your heart. Doesn't help your relationship with God. All you've done was prove that you could do it. And quite honestly, unless you have some really disability or disease, everybody can fast. Diabetics, number one type diabetics, better go see their doctor before they try it, just right up front. But the rest of us can probably do it. The rest of us have the ability. The rest of us can make that happen. And it's not going to kill us. It's going to help us. And as we feel that pain, that grumbling, if you will, that rumbling in your stomach as you're praying through lunch you're missing, it's going to keep you in a spirit of prayer for the rest of the day till you eat again. And if you do it for the right reasons, then you will be rewarded in heaven for your obedience. These Pharisees and guys like that, during that time of, we'll say, that era, when they would fast, they would actually put on makeup to make themselves look worse. So people would see how good they were. You know, it's kind of like the idea of they putting all these big fancy tassels all the way around their clothes. They put those on there to make themselves look more important because God told them they had to have them. But they embellished them. They made them even bigger than they needed to be. They wanted people to understand their religiousness, if you will. Not their willingness to be obedient. So we want to make sure that we are seen for who we are. We don't want to be seen for what we're doing for God. Bible seems to say somewhere, don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. We don't need to know that. It took me a long time to figure out what that right hand and left hand thing was all about. It has to do with the body of Christ. We have the right hand, which is, well, actually he's on your left, he's on my right, is Brad. And my left hand's carnal. And they shouldn't know what I'm doing for God. They shouldn't know between themselves what they're actually doing for God, because it's between them and God. We should see and understand that people are doing things, but at the same time, we have to be careful that we aren't doing it for praise. Verse 17. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Look like you're doing okay. Don't look like you're coming apart. Don't make it a big deal. So that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. If we want real change in our lives, if we want to find out the secrets of God, we're going to have to take time to be obedient. Take time to fast. And a lot of times when we give up stuff for Lent, when we give up, chocolate. Unless you're different than most people, you ate that chocolate without any forethought and it wasn't on a time schedule. So how could that really be for God if it isn't just the fact that you give up chocolate? But when you actually give up something like eating, something that you do, we'll say, three times a day for the most part, some of us too. Some of us could give up coffee. That would probably be a really smart idea, but I'm not going to do that this year. We need to do it that way so we understand what we're doing. So we understand that intent of our obedience, and God understands the intent of our obedience. And we can fill in that time with being more obedient, with more prayer, more Bible reading, more allowing God to speak to us, more quiet time, if that's as good as any. I have found that quiet time in my life is probably at a minimum. That's one of those precious things in my life, because I have a tough time keeping my mouth shut. Most of the noise in my life is myself, because I can't stand quietness. And so when God and I come together in absolute quietness, I'm sure he thinks I'm a real dork, because I have a terrible time being quiet before the Lord. It's not part of my being, so to speak. I'm not bent that way. Ask Carol. If I'm quiet, she assumes I'm either asleep and then I'm not that quiet, or that I'm really sick, because otherwise I'm making noise of some kind. So why don't we fast? Isaiah 58:3-4 says, "Why have you fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have you humbled yourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please, exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarrels and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high." It's supposed to make a difference. Fasting should be transforming, life changing. And it doesn't always happen that way. So I think as a church, we need to stop and decide if this is something that we could do. Not that you have to tell anybody you're going to do it. But if we really want this church to grow, we have from time to time explained that added prayer would help. Well, let's add a little more to it. Let's make sure God realizes that we are really all about growth. We're all about obedience. Because until we are totally obedient to God, this church will never grow. Until we're willing to let God take over, and we're willing to give up a few things, our life isn't going to change, and neither is the life of the community. So as we go out there this week, let's give this some thought. I'd even challenge you to give up one meal this week. And take the time to pray. And if it actually doesn't do you any good, come talk to me. Because we need to discuss this. If we do it for the right reasons and we don't feel the joy that comes through it, we need to talk and we need to pray. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be your children. We thank you for being here this morning and opening our hearts and minds to knowing who you are and that you have our best in your sights. That you want us to do the best we can do and be the best we can be. You want us to be obedient to your will, that our will might come closer to yours. So open us up, Lord. Help us to love you more. Help us this week to just reach down and try a little harder to seek your face, to know that you are there. And all God's people said, Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing.
Even if you don't know the last song, the words are good. So please see them.